Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Thanks again for hanging out with us here tonight. We always enjoy our time hanging out. So one more hour we'll have together. We'll be up until 3 o'clock. It's a little after 2 o'clock here in St. Louis. And we didn't have a chance to talk about this yesterday. There's been just a little bit of progression when it came to the response of President Trump in Puerto Rico. And I want to talk to you about it. So there's two sides to this story. And I look at this in a pragmatic way, as in a practical way. What's the best way to help the people of Puerto Rico? And are they getting that sort of treatment? And is it possible the mayor of San Juan or whatever, is it possible she is overblowing and purposely trying to politicize this for her own gain, which I think is very possible. But 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. So let's back up and let's see what's happened. There was a devastating hurricane that came through, just completely crippled Puerto Rico. And what we're going to find in the next, it's been a week ago, over a week, they're still trying to get supplies, in which, by the way, there's some good things that have happened in this. The president has come out. Of course, there's a lot of support going down that way. Privately speaking, a lot of people have thrown their support down there. And lots of supplies go down. The Jones Act was temporarily waived, or maybe waived altogether. The Jones Act is a fascinating type of piece of legislation. It was something that was signed like 100 years ago from a senator that was over in Washington, if I remember correctly. But basically, it says that only ships coming in and out of the country could be American-made, right? So if you're going to be shipping something through the sea, it has to be American-made ships. And they did that as a way to try to protect during wartime. So, and that continues to this day. The shipping industry, it's regulated. And same thing with the cruise ships. There's only certain restrictions you have to do. So they waived it in order to try to get as many supplies as possible from the boats that were available to get it down to Puerto Rico. Food sits in the docks. The distribution's not always the easiest thing. And I got to say, Geraldo Rivera, his reporting down in Puerto Rico has been excellent, just absolutely excellent. And when I look at the things he said so far, I totally agree with him. This is less of a President Trump issue, and this is definitely more of an infrastructure issue that Puerto Rico has. Why? Because their power all shut down thanks to their power lines being garbage. They haven't updated them. It's been a complete mess. And they actually have power plants fully operational. They just don't have ways to get the power to the people. And there's only so much you can do. And as more and more supplies continue to ship down there, we find that more and more people are starting to sound off. And what they're doing is they're pointing to President Trump. And in particular, the mayor that's down there, the mayor of San Juan, immediately goes back and says, hey, this is all your fault. We are dying down here. Let me find the clip, because it's very compelling when you listen to her. And she's standing there with her T-shirt that says, what was it? Please save our people, or something like that. The mayor revealed some interesting things that were happening down there. Her name is Yulin Cruz, a Democrat, has alleged numerous interviews, which she did on CNN and continues to do to this day, that the federal government has not done enough to support Puerto Rico in the wake of the hurricane. She even claimed that, quote, we're going to see something close to a genocide, end quote, if Trump and government agencies don't do more to help. So it's an interesting standoff, and it's not even a standoff because the president's still doing everything he can, I think, and doing everything they could as a country to send help and supplies and everything down there. It's taking so long to get people back up and running because their infrastructure is garbage. They have no money. They're bankrupt. They have nothing they can do down there to upgrade these things. So what they have are these old, outdated power lines and everything else that when it went down, there's no easy fix. It's not like here in Missouri when you have a big storm and all the lines go down and then they send and dispatch all the people to go fix these things. Essentially speaking, it's almost like starting from scratch from all these places. I mean, it's everything's junk. You're going through a scrapyard. So politicians, and in this case, the mayor, has used this as a huge political platform for her. And it's very disappointing she did that. Equally disappointing is President Trump fell for it. Like he basically took the bait, fell for it, and then sounded back off on her. The one thing I can guarantee about President Trump is if you push him, he'll push back. So if you ever want to bait him into doing something, you know, it's very easy. You don't have to go through the tackle box long. You know what you need to do. And that's what happens. If you're a leader, boom, he's pushing back. So here's what Geraldo Rivera said, I think, which is very good. So he said he wants to broker peace between the San Juan mayor and real Donald Trump. These are their Twitter handles. We're all on the same team and need to get the storm-stricken PR on its feet. San Juan mayor is being partisan in her sharp, unfair attacks on real President Trump by calling her politically motivated ingrate is too harsh. So they've been going back and forth on this. And some of you can say, yeah, he's the president. He doesn't have to speak this way. Totally agree. He shouldn't be going to Twitter and saying these sort of things. But hey, I think we need to just at some point realize that when you push the president, even when you're on the same side, he doesn't take it lightly. There's going to be a reaction. Geraldo continued, on the ground, I see the suffering, but feel deeply that attacking the president for the ravages of nature and neglect is politicizing tragedy. Been chasing hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes for half a century, and can say there has never been natural disaster that negatively impacted so many. Hard for folks to get arms around the scope of Puerto Rico disaster. Never in modern history have so many Americans been hurt by a single storm. This is all from Geraldo Rivera on Twitter. Don't blame President Trump. Blame two historic storms back to back and blame the PREPA. The bankrupt criminals, incompetent electric power authority, which he goes through in his own rant. He breaks down, and I'm sure he's going to be doing more and more investigative journalism on the electric power authority down there that not only has oppressed the people when it came to how much they're taking in, but not upgrading anything and now leaving them with nothing. He continues to say, without power, there's no cell service. Gas and water cannot be pumped. Energy Authority is bankrupt. Fire them all. Follow the money and bust them. Electric restoration is the key to everything. Need generators in hospitals right now. As POTUS said, PR infrastructure must be rebuilt at cost of multi-billion island in bankrupt. Who and how? That's the challenge. So that's what we're going to have to figure out. How can we get their power back on so they can try to get back to normal? Let's go back to the few that they have back and forth. Have you noticed that the mayor's been very vocal, loves to get in front of a camera, loves to get in front of the media here in the States? But one thing she hasn't been doing is attending the meetings from FEMA. Tell me that's not weird. I want to talk about that coming up next. And if you want to talk about what's going on here between the mayor and the president, or if you have any comments on Puerto Rico and what we could be doing, go ahead and give me a call. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. When you have someone that all they want to do is throw the blame, sometimes they lose sight of how to get the job done. And I think that's what's happening with this mayor down there. Because the governor, by the way, is doing an excellent job. So luckily, there is people receptive to the help that is being sent. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Let's do a quick count of how many things we've somewhat forgotten about because of all the major events that happened over the past few days. So we've forgotten about health care and the debate that happened there, forgotten about the tax reform, things that were brought up, forgot about Paul Manafort and the trouble he may be getting into. We forgot about the Mueller investigation, which continues on with the Russians. We forgot about how the Russians, we know, bought all these ads through Facebook. We forgot about North Korea, and they're still very much a threat to this country. We forgot about Texas when it comes to them still trying to rebuild and get their lives back together. We forgot about Florida in the very same way. All of these things continue, and it's all pressing problems. Puerto Rico is just another problem. And with them, there's a lot of people hurting. Millions of people are hurting, and they need help. And the country's sending it to them. President Trump's going to make a visit there today. Here's some of their priorities.
We are going to be seeing all of the first responders, the military, FEMA, and frankly, most importantly, we're going to be seeing the people of Puerto Rico. It's been amazing what's been done in a very short period of time on Puerto Rico. There's never been a piece of land that we've known that was so devastated. The bridges are down. The telecommunications was non-existent, and it's in very, very bad shape. The electrical grid, as you know, was totally destroyed. But we've gotten tremendous amounts of food and water and lots of other things, supplies, generally speaking.
And they continue to go there. And from the reports I've been able to read, a lot of these items are just getting docked, and they haven't had a way to distribute them yet. In fact, there were some major grocery chains that were ready to grab their supplies to start selling to the people down there. And it sounds like the government has just bought up the supplies to hand out to the people. If it was you and your kid that were down there, of course, you would want all the help you can get, and you would be desperate to get it at this point. It's hard to explain when you're there and there is no way to get power to you when everything was different right after the storm. People need supplies. They need to get their homes back and operational. They need water. They need things to eat. It's a long road for them. Trying to get power back to them is going to be the hardest problem, because if you can get power, things change very quickly. I don't know how fast you can supply power to an entire island from scratch. It takes time. You can't do that in a week. President Trump continues.
On the island. So we're going to be going tomorrow morning, first thing, very early.
Which is today.
We're also going to be meeting with Governor Matt of the U.S. Virgin Islands. He's going to probably, because of the difficulty in getting into the Virgin Islands, he's probably going to meet us in Puerto Rico. And then, very importantly, also on Wednesday morning, very early, we're going to be leaving for Las Vegas, where we're going to be seeing the governor, who I just spoke to, the mayor, governor of the state, the mayor of Las Vegas, who I just spoke to, the sheriff, who has done such a great job. The police department has done such a fantastic job.
Okay, so some of the other things he's doing on Wednesday, so very busy for the president. Here's a report that came up that I think is important to note. I don't know if he's going to be meeting with the mayor, San Juan, probably, after all of the problems that have arose from her and the way she's decided to approach this. I thought this was an interesting thing. So in an interview with the Daily Caller, the governor of Puerto Rico, Governor Ricardo Rossello, said that his experience with the United States government, as in working with President Trump and his people, have been much different than the mayor of San Juan. Quote, "My experience is different. I've been participating in different meetings at the headquarters of FEMA and our government, and the help is coming in. And right now, my experience is different from hers. I'm helping us with applications for the people and have damage in their homes. And we have here in Guanabo, I believe, we have thousands of people that lost partially or totally their houses." When asked about the genocide comment, Perez took to the criticism a step further, said, "I don't know why she's saying that when I can tell you my experience. She is not participating in any meetings, and we had a couple already with governors and with representation of FEMA and HUD and those whole federal agencies that have given us help, and she's not participating in those meetings, and some mayors from her political party have been participating, so I don't know why she is saying that. My experience is very different." So let's be honest. If we're at a situation where someone's being very critical of the president in the response, sure, you see the devastation, and sure, you see that it's going to take a long time to fix it, and there's no easy fix to it. So what do? You say, you know what, I'm going to take this as a way to throw some shots at the president of the United States and get some national attention. This is not the time for her to be trying to play this political game, especially when it's at the expense of the people that are living there and in absolute desperate need. So that's interesting to hear that from the governor, huh? What are their needs? They said the government's working hard as they can. He explained that there's some needs that need to be met quickly as possible. One need, blue tarps to salvage structures of homes that are partially damaged by the hurricane, as well as diesel and gas drivers to transport fuel to parts of the island. However, he emphasized it's been hard to get that over here, and I know that the government is helping, so we are expecting maybe next week that we'll be in the past and that we won't have any problems. Expect that. So looks like he's optimistic that the trip out there will help improve the relief efforts. I know originally they said, why is it taking so long for the president to get out there? The answer for that was too many resources would be spent on the president and not enough would be spent on the people of Puerto Rico. Very interesting. So when you see this feud, does this change your opinion on anything there? And isn't it hard to look at all of the relief efforts we've had? We had relief efforts in Texas. Luckily, we were spared in Florida, which could have been a whole lot worse of a situation. But there's still a lot of efforts that need to be going south there. We saw ball players, in fact, here in Cardinals land, to send down and players helping the people and family down there. We've seen people in Texas, on the show, I talked about how Mark Cuban was sending out his private plane so they can help distribute and get supplies down there. People are helping, and there's a lot of people stepping up. And even when we did the Tell Me Something Good about an hour ago, I talked about how there's people in Detroit trying to put solar panels together because they said, you know what, if you can't get the infrastructure up and running, I know what you could do, solar. Maybe this could help. They have plenty of sun down there. And things like that are ways where people are stepping up yet again. Geraldo Rivera, I'll tell you what, I've been on the fence with him. He's someone that I have a love-hate relationship. I don't think he's a bad reporter. I don't think he's necessarily bad. I know he did a lot of reporting here in Ferguson. I remember watching that when I was living in Indiana. But here's what, when he talks about the infrastructure, I had no idea it was so bad and so corrupt when it comes to the power in that area. You know, that's the crippling thing that has really been the roadblock for them to get actual progress. You know, life could change dramatically when you don't have power for an extended amount of time. Just imagine you wouldn't be able to work. Just imagine what it's like losing power for a day at your house. All of a sudden, the food in your fridge goes bad. All of a sudden, the kids are complaining a lot because they don't have their iPad and their cell phones, right? And without the power, you don't have, for the most part, unless you have battery-operated things, you don't have ways to communicate with people. You don't have ways to listen to the radio or television for reports. Which, by the way, when the power goes out, radio is the number one source. And imagine if you're trying to earn a living and you can't go into work. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have an income because they can't pay you because they're not open. I mean, there's a huge snowball effect that happens when there's no power. And this has been a ticking time bomb. I don't know how many warnings they've had, but you can't blame President Trump for this. I mean, it's how many years, if you really want to go back, how many years have we had a chance to upgrade this sort of thing? But there's been no money for it. Zero. Spoke with FEMA. This is what Geraldo Rivera says. Spoke with FEMA this morning, who told me Puerto Rico strong is the worst U.S. natural disaster since agency created the term for generalized devastation. Do everything you can to help them. They absolutely need it. All right, coming up next, there's a story I read, and it was one of the grossest stories. And I'll try to use this, and I'll try to talk about this in a non-gross way. But if anyone has tattoos and you're listening right now, I'm trying to say this in not a weird way, but do you have any tattoos in weird places? And I don't want this to get dirty because I'm not looking for those type of places. I'm going to tell you a story of a woman who is now pleading with you to never get a tattoo where she got it. And I want to tell you about her story. But I want to hear your story with tattoos. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, it's gross. I'll tell you that. This is Overnight America, KMOX. All right, so this is going to be really gross. Really gross. So I'm going to warn you right now. If you have a tattoo, I'm sorry. But I read this and I said, there's no way I can't share this. People are getting tattoos on their eyeballs. They're jeepers peepers. They're little eyeballs. I mean, literally people are getting tattoos on them because people are crazy and stupid. You know, I remember just 20 years ago, we'll say 20 years ago, remember what the edgy thing was? Oh, I'm going to get a piercing here. Oh, I got a piercing on my nose. I'm so edgy. Check it out. In the lower end of my earlobe, I'm going to go up high. Oh, I'm so edgy. How about I put one on my eyebrow? Oh, crazy, man. Now they're tattooing their eyes. Ugh, it's so disgusting. And there's only one way I can describe this, and this is the grossest thing. I'm so sorry. But when I saw this, I said, why does that lady have a pickled egg in her eye? It's so gross. I'm just thinking about it. It's weird. So she thought she'd be really cool. Her name is Kat Gallagher, 24-year-old model from Ottawa, Canada. Hey, congratulations. I'm glad you have your socialized medicine. Now the taxpayers can pay for your stupid idea of getting a tattoo on your eyeball. This eyeball tattooing, she's warning people of the terrible consequences to it. You're telling me when you're laying down on a table and a guy was bringing a vibrating needle to your eye, That wasn't the time for you to hit the eject button and stop right there. Now she's warning everyone the dangers on social media. Do you want to hear what she sounds like? Tell me if she sounds like she made a mistake.
Swelling looks like it's gone down, and it has a bit, but this eyelid is covered, like, over the lump, so it gets stuck there, so you can't actually see the swelling.
Bro, it's so gross.
That is how my eye actually looks.
Oh, it's so gross. Oh, I can't even look. I can't even look. It's literally a pickled egg in the eye. It looks like someone replaced them. Oh, it's so gross. Why would anyone do that? So it's caused by undiluted ink over the injection of not enough smaller injection sites. She says, I'm not sharing this with you to cause you trouble. Well, you did. I mean, I am nauseous just looking at it. Maybe I'm just too squirmish, but I'm sure there's people at the hospital when you walked in and you said, hey, I got this eye tattoo and it's really hurting. I think someone needs to take a look at it. I'm sure they said, yeah, right, you're crazy. And then you opened your eye. What it looked like, you probably just got in a boxing match. You open your eye and you show it to them. And immediately the lady behind the counter shrieks, and it's like mass hysteria. That's how I imagine it rolling out when you went to go take a look. It's still her eye. Apparently they use this special type of, it looks like a pink dye or purple dye or something like that. And it's taken over her eye. It literally, when you have a pickled egg, if you've ever done that, you put it in a jar and it goes through the pickling process and it's the beets. What I'm guaranteeing you is if you're curious what this looks like, do yourself a favor and don't look it up on the internet. I'm warning you. If you have any teens that want to get this kind of stupid procedure, maybe that's the time to show them this video. She says it's very painful. She's oozing purple tears. Her bad eye swelling, loss of vision. She thinks she's going to go blind. Oh, so gross. Time will tell how much of her vision she'll end up regaining or whether more complications will occur. They say this is the warning. Even if the needle doesn't go too deep, it still enters the white part of your eye, which continues to the cornea, the portion of the front of the eye that serves as the window, and effectively just pollutes it all. I don't know why you need special doctors or experts or people like this 24-year-old quote-unquote model to tell you the dangers of getting eye tattoos. I mean, where has common sense gone? I mean, there's no such thing as common sense anymore. Pain is your way. This is what they say in the article. Pain is your body's way of saying, no, don't do this. If there isn't anything, I can probably think of just a few things more painful than getting an eye tattoo. I'm guessing childbirth and kidney stones are one and two, and then number three, eye tattoo. I got to imagine that's right up there. Bamboo shoots up your fingernails may even be less painful than what this woman's going through. Your body tends to have more nerve endings in areas it wants to protect, like your groin and your eye, this article from Forbes says. Could you imagine you're a serious reporter from Forbes? You're looking at the world markets and how they impact your 401k, things like that. And then you're assigned, hey, kid, come here. You're going to get your first big story. Oh, wonderful. What am I going to look at? Am I going to look at how the crops in Brazil have affected the markets here? Am I going to go undercover? Am I going to find some exposed corruption? No, actually, there's this 24-year-old in Canada that got an eye tattoo, and now it's swollen. I need you to write up an article on it. That's thanks to Bruce Y. Lee, a contributor. Ah, Bruce Lee. Wonder if he's related to the... Wonder if he's ever got that joke before. It's so gross. I don't know what I'm going to do, because if we're on this dangerous trend of people doing crazy, stupid things to their bodies... Because of the MTV world where they went out there and basically did the exact same thing where they said, you know, We're going to go on the television, and we're going to do painful things, and people will love it, and we'll get a lot of money, right? So same thing with the internet. People on YouTube do stupid things all the time. People on the internet say, you know, this will be great. I'll get all kinds of people to watch my videos, and boom, I'll do it. Remember, not that long ago, there was that story of the girl that wanted to help her boyfriend become internet famous. You know, the boyfriend, the father of her children that they fathered together. And he said, you know what? I can stop a bullet through this really thick book. This is what I want you to do. Get this powerful gun. I want you to aim it right at this book. And it'll get wedged in here and I'll, you know, it'll be good for views. Well, guess what? Guy got shot, died on the spot. You people on YouTube, they say, you know what? I've seen these things online. Here's this whatever challenge. Oh, I'm going to put myself on fire challenge. You know, I'm going to do this challenge and that. And they do this for some sort of fame. And then in real life, you say, oh, people get addicted to things like tattoos. They just want to get more and more and more and more. And they say, I want to express my individualism. I want to get an eye tattoo. So when people look me in the eye, it looks like I'm always bloodshot or I drink or whatever it is. And yeah, what's the end game? People would look at you and they'd say, oh, wow, that's unique. You look like you have permanent pink eye. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's going to be real helpful in the rest of your life. Permanent pink eye. Wonderful. So kids, stay away from eye tattoos. Parents, if your kid comes up with an idea like, I want to get this tattooed, maybe that's the only time you're allowed to look at this. Now that this 24-year-old's partially blind because of it, because of this terrible thing. I know there's a lot of people that are blind that listen to this program at night. I mean, I get calls all the time, you know, between Doug and Spencer and everyone else that calls in. Could you imagine, based on nothing they did, they have these issues with themselves where that create this blindness, and then they read about stories or they hear about stories about this 24-year-old who does it purposely to themselves. That'd just drive you crazy. You know, she has no idea how stupid this was. You know, in retrospect, I'm sure she wouldn't do it again. She's out there to tell people a warning. But I don't know. What's that old phrase? You can't fix stupid. That's one of those things. All right, two other stories I meant to get to. One, O.J. Simpson was released from prison. You want to know how much money he made while he was in prison? Well, no, I got a figure that'll kind of give you a ballpark. It's a lot of money. And by the way, if you have a certain richness to you, like you're very, you know, you got some money. Hey, good news for you. I got a new study says something really big will benefit you. So we'll talk about that coming up. One more segment on Overnight America. While we're in commercial break, do not tattoo your eye. Whatever you do, KMOX. All right, we're together one last time here on this Tuesday morning. What at one point was actually Monday night. All right, so you want to know how much money O.J. Simpson made while he was in prison? ESPN actually calculated it because you can look at the NFL pension. So released on Sunday morning, which means that the money is now his to spend. And since it's part of the pension, based on the law, can't go to the families, even though they won that wrongful death suit, the Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman family. So there's a lot of money. Apparently, it's still about $65 million worth of money that hasn't gone his way. And OJ's done just about everything to skirt that he can. And very sleazy, sure. But the pension by itself, if you do the math, he played in the NFL from 1969 to 79. NFL players who played before 82 get a monthly pension credit of $250 for every season played. So since he played 11 seasons, adds up to about $2,700 a month. Part of a settlement that came out in 2011, they got some extra money, which means now all of a sudden it's up to an additional $1,200 a month. So $4,000 a month roughly is what O.J. Simpson would made if he elected to start taking his pension out at the age of 55. Getting paid for that in the 108 months he was in jail, that means O.J. made about $435,000 while in there. But if he waited until 65, you know, he's about 70 right now. So 5 years later, depending on if he took it out or not, which if you're in prison, I don't see why you would take out an early retirement. That means based on his 65th birthday, it was instead 400 in the 435,000. It was more like 633,000. That's just doing some calculations. He probably has over 600 grand waiting for him just in his pension so he can live and do whatever for the rest of his life and try to stay out of trouble. Does anyone truly believe OJ will stay out of trouble? Does anyone believe that? You know, he's 70 now. He's going to be watched like a hawk. And TMZ is going to be there to record it when he messes up. I'm sure of it. There's already a video. Someone saw him at a gas station. He was in the back of his car, and they came up to him with the camera, and he looked. Yeah, if you watch that documentary ESPN made on it wasn't a 30 for 30, but it was Only in America or something like that, or Made in America. Excellent documentary series. And there was a part where he was selling all of his stuff, like he needed some money. And he had a cameraman record him taking down the American flag at his house. Like he was lowering the flag down and taking it off. And we have the raw video that they showed in that documentary. And it shows him directing the person that's filming him and doing it multiple times to get the right angle. Because what he was going to do was sell that footage to one of the tabloids, who then in return would broadcast it or publish it somewhere. Here's O.J. Simpson, so broke he can't even afford to keep his American flag flying. He wanted to control that type of message that was coming out. Now, I watched what happened with the TMZ-style type of let's get up to O.J. Simpson after he's out of jail and talk to him, see what he's going to do next. It had that same vibe to it, almost like it was staged. I mean, it had almost that exact same vibe. So, O.J. Simpson, how long is it going to take before he gets in trouble? I don't know. Don't know. All right, here's another story, and we only got a couple of minutes. I thought this was interesting. As it turns out, people are pickier on who they marry. They wait longer. We did a story on this last week. People are in if you're in your 20s or 30s, you're just waiting longer to get married. And a lot of it, they say, has to do with the economy. Women want a guy with a good job, right? They want a guy to put a ring on it and be able to continue to give them and shower them with whatever. So they did a study, and they found out that rich men have the happiest marriages. Oh, how about that, rich men? And people with extreme politics have the happiest marriages. Yeah. So if you have a very strong political beliefs, like myself, I'm very conservative, but you know, you could be very liberal, whatever it is. You, by the way, according to this survey, have a high chance of being able to have a happy marriage. For the most part, they came to the conclusion that men are happier in marriage than women, which I totally get. Mostly because of my own experience with my wife. I am so needy when I go back to the house. I feel so bad for my wife. I mean, I'm always asking her for things. Honey, can you do this? Honey, can you do that? Now, I do the hard lifting. You know, I go out, I maintain the lawn, I fix things around the house, I do the repairs to the car. I'm watching, and I'm always trying to keep things in order. You know, I take the dog for the walk, I take the kid to the park, I do all these things. But man, when I get home, I got a pretty good arrangement. So when I look at the way that the happiness level is, I'm a happy guy at home, and I know she is too. But if we were to do a survey, I have a feeling I might be happier than she is. It's kind of sad when I say that out loud. I just made myself very depressed saying that out loud. Oh, sorry, honey. So who's the happiest percentage-wise? So percentage who rate themselves very happy in a marriage by characteristic. Men, there's a 64% chance you say very happy. Females, only at 60%. Those who go to church or go to some sort of religious attendance, they call it, more than once a week, 66% say very happy. Less than once a week, 63%. Less than once a month, 60%. Never, 60%. So basically, that doesn't have a few things. So, but political views, if you're extremely liberal, you say you're about 65% very happy with your marriage. Extremely conservative, 68%. And then it kind of goes back to conservative, slightly moderate, slightly liberal. And it basically, if you're on the polar ends, you're more likely to be happy. And a class divide. If you're in the lower class, you're about 53% by saying you're very happy when it comes to your marriage. If you're in the upper class, 70%. That's a 17% gap between the lower and upper class when it comes to marriage. They say there's a couple of contributing factors. They say you probably can afford to go on vacations. If you're in the upper class, you're probably giving gifts to your spouse at the same time if you're a part of that upper class. So they come to those special conclusions too. You know, and there's some things that you can be doing right now. You don't have to be falling into this demographic. There's a lot of things you could be doing to make your marriage a happy, long-lasting thing. And if for some reason you feel like it's slipping, keep this in mind. It is absolutely worth working on it, and it's worth making it better, whatever you might be doing. And just reading the survey immediately tomorrow, I'm going to do something nice for my wife. Just because I read this, I said, you know, I got to do something nice now. I made myself sad thinking that I'm happier in my marriage than she is. It made me sad to even think that. All right, so let's hope that by the time I'm on the air tomorrow night, she hasn't kicked me out of the house and I'm sleeping in the shed. So let's hope for that. Enjoy the rest of your night, and you can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. A couple other ways you can reach me, ryan.recker at kmox.com. That is my email address. I want you to, you know, just be nice, especially to your wife or husband. Have a good night.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.